Well, good evening, everyone. If you're visiting with us for your first time, obviously our pastor is away. My name is Mike Cassis, and I have the opportunity and the blessing to share with you a message that God has really impressed upon my heart. And I just want to thank Pastor Hunter for the opportunity for allowing me to fill in for him while he's away. I used his own words on him this week. I said, it's either going to be awesome or it's going to be awful. So, but no, I pray that it's a blessing to God's people. So, if you have your Bible, please take out your Bibles and turn to James chapter 2. That's James chapter 2. And then kind of put a marker or something in there and then turn to Ephesians 2. We'll start in Ephesians and then go quickly to James. All right, so again, that's James 2 and then Ephesians 2, but we'll be starting in Ephesians. There'll be a few other stops along the way, but you can just write them down or I can just read them to you. But before we begin, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for tonight. We just thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. God, we just pray for our pastor as he's away and as Nick goes out this week as well, Lord, for that work. We just thank you for what you're doing in his life, God, in their life. And pray, Lord, for your traveling mercies and your protection upon them. Lord, I just pray you just use me tonight, Lord, with the message that's prepared, God. It's your words, Lord. I just pray that I can just share it and, Lord, speak it as you've laid it on my heart, God. So give me the words to speak. Lord, give the people an ear to hear. Lord, let them be attentive. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to each and every one of us, Lord, as only you can. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, obviously, if you know the calendar, we're about 1 week away from having celebrated the Lord's resurrection. Truly the single most important day in the history of the world. By rising from the dead, the Lord Jesus conquered hell, sin, and death. His death on the cross provided the atonement, or that's a fancy word of saying the payment, for the penalty of my sin and your sin. That in its most simplistic form is the gospel message. Around Easter, many people attend church services that usually don't go to church. Our church and churches like us, of course, we've invited people. We want them to come and we want them to hear the gospel message. I don't know everybody in the room here, but maybe some of you are those who recently trusted Christ for your salvation. Maybe you walked an aisle. Maybe you shed some tears. You prayed a prayer of faith. And we rejoice in that. For those of us who have been Christians a while, we've also experienced a different week. We call it the week of passion. But hopefully, as believers, we spend some time meditating and reflecting on the final week of Jesus' earthly life and ministry. From the triumphant entry on Palm Sunday to the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, from the suffering and death on the cross, and finally to the joyful resurrection and empty tomb. What a great week of commemoration.
Amen. Amen.
And then we all went to work on Monday. Right? We kind of came from a spiritual high back to our normal routine. And, you know, some routines are good because they balance us. They simplify our lives. I know when we kind of go through Christmas, there's so many things going on, and some of us are glad to get back to our normal routine. But I don't know if you're like me, but you get a little depressed when Easter's over, and all the holidays too. But you get a little depressed when Easter's over. Maybe the only good thing about the holidays being over is that your relatives leave. So, not you guys though. You're the good relatives. So my family's out here. Hey, they're driving me home. So, well, you know, I gotta be nice. But again, you're kind of sitting there, maybe Monday morning, and again, kind of, I don't know, maybe a bit of a low, and you kind of start thinking to yourself, you know, now what? Now what? And specifically as it relates to, you know, Easter or Resurrection Sunday, I kind of ask myself the question, you know, How do I allow the resurrection of Christ to impact me on a daily basis? I mean, again, we've kind of put a lot of effort into celebrating Easter, inviting people, having, you know, special services, special music. But how do you allow the resurrection of Christ to impact you on a daily basis? And obviously, the answer to that question is found in Scripture. And there's some various answers to that, but in our limited time tonight, we're going to look at the subject of work. Okay, of work. So if you're a note taker, the title of tonight's message is A Call to Good Works. So I kind of have to dip down here and get my water. So again, a call to good works. So it's always good to define your terms before starting. And for our purposes tonight, a work is simply something that we do. It's an action, all right? Many of us go to work each day, and at our jobs, we perform various functions and duties. Some of us go to the gym where we work out, and that means, of course, we do a specific routine of exercises or actions. So, again, I think we understand what a work is. And if you know me, I'm a pretty practical guy. I mean, the Bible is, phenomenal. The Bible, of course, is the Word of God. It's what we live our lives by. But we also want to be practical in it. You know, it's been, someone once said, I don't know who it was, but don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. And that's kind of the crux, if you will, of the message tonight. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And I'm sure it's a section of Scripture most of us know well. And the Bible says here, starting in verse 8, "For by grace you are saved." I'm sorry, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works." And that's our theme and our topic for tonight. That's where it's coming from, right there. "Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, again, we don't have a lot of time tonight, but I hope you know and you should know that we're not saved by our own human works or actions. We are saved by the work of Christ on the cross. And that's basically what verse 8 and 9 tell us. But once a person is born again, as verse 10 states, that those who are in Christ, those are the saved, those are the believers, we are ordained by God. All right, or another word, maybe established or appointed by God to do good works. And that's what it means by we should walk in them, we should do them or complete them. Again, and I'm sure there's been over the centuries theological debates and so forth, and we don't work to earn or keep our salvation, okay? But we do it as a response to the love of God. As the Bible says, we love God because he first loved us. Now, as soon as I say that, I'm going to make a next statement, and you may disagree with it. But I believe the only thing we can really give God, well, before I answer that, don't shout it out, but in your minds, what's the only thing you think you can give God? Well, I believe it's obedience. Now, you might say maybe it's love, which love, of course, is important. When you think of the Bible, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Love is so powerful. But again, when it comes to obedience, our obedience to Christ and his word proves our love to him. Our obedience demonstrates our faithfulness to him. Our obedience glorifies him in the world. So again, obedience, I believe, is the only thing that we can really give God. It's our obedience as a response to God's word that we even get saved in the first place. We're sinners saved by grace, and God came looking for us. We didn't go looking for him, okay? So as a response to God looking for us, that's our obedience. That's how we get saved. So from Ephesians 2, we see that God has appointed the believer unto good works. We just need to choose to walk in it, all right? Now, please turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and then starting in verse 14, the Bible says, starting verse 14, "What does it profit, okay, or benefit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Or what the Bible here is saying is, can that kind of faith save him? A faith without works, can that save? Verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith by thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. I'm sorry, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So works, and specifically here what we're talking about is good works, as we saw in Ephesians, are a spiritual byproduct of a vibrant faith. Okay, I hope you have a vibrant faith, but it's a spiritual byproduct of a vibrant faith. Faith and works are two sides of the same coin. They're not exclusive one to another, but designed by God to be in harmony with each other. Works don't justify a man or a woman, but a justified man or woman works. Okay? So the question and the challenge of this message is, how are your works doing? What are you doing or building for the Lord? How are you serving him? You know, I'll get towards the end and I'll tell you where kind of the inspiration came from, but definitely part of the inspiration of this message was coming from the series that, of course, our pastor is currently doing about preparing for 2020. And I'm not trying to steal my own thunder, but definitely this message is a call from apathy towards action. You know, it's a call to get busy. So let's quickly look at three areas to better understand how we can perform the works that God has called us to do. So number one, again, if you're taking notes, we've got a good preacher three-point outline. So number one, good works are God's works. Good works are God's works. What God has called me to do is not something that I or we, obviously us, can humanly manipulate. We surely can try, but we won't be successful, right? Just listen, if you want to turn there, you can, but it's a verse I think everyone may know, but Psalm 127, verse 1, the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. So when it comes to these good works that we're talking about, God, of course, is the foundational and the central component. He is our everything. He's the quarterback. He's the offense. He's the defense. He's the head coach. I think you get the idea. It all starts with God, and it ends with God. We are just an allowed partaker. We see here from Psalm 127 that God is the master builder, and we work and do and build under his guidance and direction. It's God who makes us ready by his divine hand for the opportunity and the performance of those good works. So again, God will provide those opportunities of those works. You know, we don't have to rely on ourselves. He'll provide the opportunity, and he'll also allow and provide the performance for those good works. Especially like tonight, God's going to give me the performance of it because it's up to him. Just looking at some examples from the Bible. Of course, we know Noah. Noah built the ark, but God gave him the specifications. Moses led the people out of Egypt, but God performed the miracles. Solomon built the temple, but God architected it. Nehemiah rebuilt the walls, but God provided the protection. And of course, there's more biblical examples, but I hope you begin to see that although, again, all the work is God's, he's the originator, he carries us through, he sustains us, he does everything, God still chooses to work through people. And let me say that again. That was pretty good. You know, the work is God's, but he chooses to work through people. And again, and I just read off Noah, Moses, Solomon, Nehemiah. Those are some pretty phenomenal men of the Bible. But God still chooses to work through people like you and me. And all our inadequacies. Excuse me. I have my podium. In all our inadequacies, God allows us and works with and through us. Now, I didn't really go to seminary, but to be honest, I don't know why God does. I don't know why he allows us to work with him. He can do it all himself without any of us. I don't know about you, but have you ever had to train anybody at work? And sometimes you may get a good worker, but then sometimes you get someone who's kind of, I guess, slow, and you're trying to train them, and they're not, you know, or maybe you're at Publix, or maybe, I don't know, fast food place, and, you know, you go there, you say, I want a number one with a Coke. And they're like how hard can it be? And you just start losing your patience, and you're this nice, quiet, mannered person, and then you're just, you know, you see, like, it's kind of like those Looney Tunes commercials where that red is just going up in your head, and you kind of have the smoke coming out of your ears. But thank God that God is God. He allows us to be partakers in his ministry, and God has limitless patience and grace with us. I know I don't have limitless grace and patience with people, but God does. But he has that grace and patience as long as we're moving forward in obedience to him, okay? So again, point number one. Number one, good works are God's works. It all begins and ends with him, even though he allows us to be partakers. Number two, good works are kingdom works. Good works are kingdom works. So again, just listen. You don't have to turn there, but you can write it down. Matthew 6:33. And again, a familiar verse, I think, to many. And the Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So here the Bible is challenging us to first pursue God's kingdom in all that we do. Today's culture is teaching us to kind of find a life coach. Anybody know what that term or heard that term? Okay. And you know, we find a life coach, and they want to coach us on how to make us to work and unleash our potential and you know, make it to the top of our profession and be a global influencer. Now, there's nothing wrong with those things. There's nothing wrong with doing anything in an orderly way or in an excellent way or with excellence. So here's the part, I guess, to kind of add your own application. So young people, you know, don't settle for a C in school when you know you can earn an A. Now, for some of us, a C was a tremendous accomplishment. All right? But let's not be lazy. Let's do our best for the Lord. And I know there's a few short weeks of school left, but let's finish strong. And all the teachers here said, amen. No, finish strong, finish strong. All right, that was a message within a message, so let's get back here. And again, back to what I said earlier, nothing wrong with having a mentor or being one. That's in essence what discipleship is, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But again, the drive of the worldly philosophies that you kind of see out there is usually not kingdom-focused. But again, God has ordained us for kingdom works, doing things that advance his kingdom and surrendering our will and our desires to what he wants. The kingdom works that God is primarily concerned with are works that affect people and their spiritual condition. Let me say that again, because that's really important. Even, again, in preparing this message, God was speaking to me, and, you know, there's things that I have to learn. But the kingdom works that God is primarily concerned with are works that affect people and their spiritual condition. Again, all of ministry is geared towards people. Yeah, we may build a building and do these other things, but at the end of the day, ministry, God's ministry is concerned with people. But yes, as a son or daughter, God cares for you. He cares for your life, your health, your career. But we see in the life of Job that God allows certain negative things to happen to us in order to bring about greater spiritual results in us and others. Okay? Getting back to kingdom works, and as you read through the Bible, hopefully you come to realize that God's kingdom principles are totally opposite to this world. In the Bible, we find that the last shall be, and the first shall be. Very good. You guys get an A, see? In our world, to be first, most people just step all over everyone else or use people and discard them. Now, that's not everybody, but we do see that out there, and there is this race to be first in our culture. Fame, and we were talking about this in Sunday school a little bit, fame and if you're on YouTube and all these influencers and all those things, I mean, it's all about kind of being number one. Also, the Bible teaches that the greatest among you shall be your servant. And in our world, it seems that the greatest people have the most servants. You know, they don't really serve, or if they do, maybe it's in somewhat of a shallow way. And speaking of shallow, that our world is becoming very shallow and dark. And what I hear so much, and I hear so many people that they're concerned about the direction of our world, and of course how it's going. But the good news is that when it gets very, very dark, that's when the smallest light becomes the most noticeable. Okay. So don't fear. Be encouraged. That's obviously what tonight's message is a message of encouragement and to call us to action. But don't fear. Be encouraged. The darker it gets, the more people will see the light of Christ in us. So kind of a question here. How do I know if the work I'm engaged in is a kingdom work? Well, I would answer it this way. What are the results or byproducts of that work? Is the result or a byproduct of that work, is it the gospel? Is it salvation? Is it an exaltation of God and the Lord Jesus? Is it contentment? Is it humility? Is it service? Those are all kingdom things. Are you yourselves personally increasing? Or as John the Baptist said, referring to Christ, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now, not that God can't bless us and bless you and myself, but again, are you the focus of that work, or is it other-centered? And again, we have to even be cautious of this, even in ministry, where, again, people want to be out front and kind of the focus of the ministry instead of course, the Lord and the Word being the focus of the ministry. So if you think you're building or working towards something for the Lord, and those results are not part of that work, you may need to reconsider what you're doing. And that's why being in God's Word is so important to our lives as Christ followers. Through his word, we discover who he is. We gain our direction and our focus in life and learn what it is to be a disciple of Christ. And I kind of alluded to it before, but discipleship is probably the greatest good work that we can be engaged in. Discipleship equips the Christian with God's word, prayer, Bible doctrine, worship, evangelism, and service. It's also a great way to build relationships and to be engaged within the church. You know, we live in an increasing digital world where we spend most of our time, right, staring at a screen to the point we fall over things and so forth. But we may have 10 million Facebook friends, but studies have shown this, that as a society, we feel increasingly alone, lonely, and isolated. And as all things, we need to be careful that the culture of the world doesn't come into the church and influence the church. So we need to get back as a church to relationship building. You know, if you're new here, it can be a little intimidating getting to know everyone. For those of us who have been here a while, let's remember how we felt when we were first-timers and extend a welcoming spirit to those around us. My wife is in charge of the greeters ministry, so anybody wanting to greet, anyone friendly, please see her to sign up. Again, it's always great if you've obviously have ever traveled and you've gone to a different church, how you're treated. And, you know, maybe as we all head out this summer and kind of go on some vacations and we experience that, you know, let's come back and know how it feels to be a first-timer and share with those and make them feel welcome. And again, so these are just some simple ways to help build the kingdom. So number one, good work are God's works. Number two, good works are kingdom works. And then lastly, number three, good works are rewarded works. So if you're still with me, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're getting close there, so just a couple more verses. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Starting in verse 5, the Bible says, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed? Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And the Apostle Paul here is basically reiterating our first point. Yes, you know, he and Apollos worked and served, but it was all about God. God gives the increase. You can put, in this example, fertilizer and the best soil and everything, but if God doesn't give the increase, you know, there's nothing that's going to grow. So picking up in verse 8 here. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And then here's our key point. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So each of us will be rewarded for our labor or work. Continuing in verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And there's a lot being said here, but the Apostle Paul is using the metaphor of building as it relates to his service and his work to the Lord. Pick it up in verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, or again, exposed or laid bare. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try or test every man's work of what sort it is. In verse 14 again, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So verse 14 speaks of an abiding work. That's a kingdom work, a work done with eternal perspective and significance. So I think the Bible is clear that our work for the Lord will be rewarded. Now, we don't work for the rewards, okay? Our motivation to serve God is based on our obedience and our love to Him. But it is important to know that our work will be tried or examined or scrutinized. You know, I work in a finance department, and of course, I work in the accounting, and of course, it's just the same thing. Our works are going to be reconciled, if you will, you know, what we've given and what we've done. And the kind of the scary part, I shouldn't have said scary, but the interesting part is not even just the end result of our work is going to be judged, but even the intentions of our heart. Okay, if you want to turn there, please turn to Matthew 7. Verse 21. This is our last scripture, and then I'm going to make some application, and then we'll be done. So we're almost there. But yeah, Matthew 7. It's nice hearing the pages turn. No iPads, right? Oh, Apple, bad. Microsoft, good. Okay, sorry. Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? This is Jesus' response here in verse 23. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of organizations doing what verse 22 calls wonderful works, okay? They're doing good things, and it is good, but they thought what they were doing was great, but they're not for God. They're not works for God's kingdom because they're not done in accordance with God's will. That's what it says back in verse 21, but he that doeth the will of my Father, that's the works that we need to do. And it's interesting, Jesus' response to this. Jesus referred to them as workers of iniquity. And when I looked up the word iniquity in the dictionary, you guys know what a dictionary is, right? Okay, I'm just joking. One of the words came back that was interesting to me was this word injustice. Injustice. And that definitely seems to be an issue for our time. And I'm all for justice and a world that is just and righteous and obviously holy. But it's interesting that, again, that Jesus used that word. And it's almost as if he was saying, or Jesus kind of looked back and he saw all this work that these people were doing. And again, it was good. Maybe they're feeding people. You know, in this case, they said they were casting out demons and doing these great things. And we can kind of apply it to today and seeing so many organizations out there. But what was missing was that spiritual component. You can feed the whole world, but if there's not that spiritual component that connects to Christ and connects to God, you know, that work is just vain and empty. Okay. Now, I'm not saying it's not good to feed people and clothe people and those types of things, but we need to link that back to Jesus. And again, it's interesting that Jesus sees this work and he looks out, and again, kind of, it's almost as if he just says, all that work with not being linked back to a spiritual component to God or himself, that's an injustice to humanity. So I don't know, I just thought that was interesting. But again, these works were not rewarded. Because they were not done in accordance with his will. They were not done in accordance with the kingdom and what he wanted to do. So in closing, you can close your Bibles if you like. I'm going to make a couple more statements and then be done. I think we're kind of good on time. But and also using the Apostle Paul's analogy of building. The inspiration from this message really comes from watching people build things. I'm a software guy, a programmer, whatever you want to call me, and I spend a lot of time trying to build applications and technology, so I can appreciate what it takes to build something. You know, I don't know, when I'm in my spare time or kind of watching TV, I always like to watch like a Discovery Channel or, you know, How It's Made, those types of things. And one day I got watching this one show, and anybody know what the tallest building in the world is? Oh, okay, I heard that, right. So let's just go to New York City. The new One World Trade Center is at 1,776 feet, okay? So obviously 1776, you know, that was the year we were, the Declaration of Independence and all that. So for our, if there's any quizzes tomorrow, 1776. But imagine take 1,000 feet of that, add it onto another building, and that is the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, 2,700 feet tall, tallest building in the world. Again, I was watching a show that showed behind the scenes of how they build that, and it's just, man, it's just amazing. Then I was also watching another show or program again of just, you know, some musicians of how they've created these songs and albums and so forth, and you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, you know, a lot of people are still singing their songs. And then, sorry, I have to kind of get this plug in. I think of the movies that kind of, you know, just affect pop culture, like Star Wars. I mean, it's just amazing what, you know, that has kind of done. And again, I know these may be some secular examples, but to me, it's just amazing to see people work and build and build these things that are just great that we all know and kind of interact with. I alluded to it before. I'm not a fan of his, but Apple and Steve Jobs, for sure, with the iPhone. What a great device. But anyway, you know, this really led me to question myself. What am I building? And more importantly, what am I building for the Lord? Okay? And my challenge is what about you? Now, I know I'm saying this word I a lot, and point number one was it was all God. But again, you know, what are the good works that the Lord has prepared for me to work on? For you to work on. Now, it's not building something, again, I alluded to these things, but it's not about building something for millions of people to see, okay, or creating a legacy where you'll be remembered 100 years from now. But it's about being obedient and faithful to the Lord to do what he's called us to do. I think it's best presented in the example, and I think it was this past Wednesday, but forgive me if it was wrong, but when Pastor taught us about the widow with the two mites. Jesus saw her. Nobody else really noticed her. She was just, of course, a poor widow. But Jesus acknowledged her, and through his acknowledgement of her, she's obviously in the scriptures, and we all know about her, and can be we can remember her. And in a sense, she's an inspiration of what it is to serve and what it is to sacrifice. So I think the challenge is for us to discern the good works that God has for us and do them. And I know this message wasn't specifically about that, about the how, but we find them in God's word. We find them through prayer. We find them, in a sense, through the counsel of each other, of what I see in you and you see in me, of what the Lord's doing, that we get that counsel. So young people, when you start your life, don't neglect God and the work he has for you. Make him a part of your life from the very beginning, okay? Us middle-aged people, woohoo, mid-40s and beyond or whatever, in the midst of our life with all the busyness this world has to offer, don't forget God and the importance of his work, all right? And lastly, you older folks, you're not done yet. It's not time to relax. You may have built some of the things that I've even talked about. You may have done a lot of these things already. But I was encouraged this week talking to someone when he said, you know, I just have one more run in me. I just have one more work that I feel that the Lord is leading me to do. And I thought that that was just a great inspiration. I use that word a lot, but I think it's an important word. So just in closing, let's allow the impact of Christ's resurrection to motivate us to be busy about doing the work that God has called us to do. Shall we pray?